Grateful again to be able to present our brother. Seems as if he's been a busy man lately up here behind the pulpit, but I know that he always takes the time to let the Lord work with him, to work with his heart, to be able to bring a message that would be relevant to us and to the lives that we're living in, to those that we come in contact with. And I appreciate the opening slide here. I can relate to that. Strikes a chord with me because I find that is one of the most important things in our spiritual walk, is that communication that we have with God. And so I hope that each and every one of us take away something from the service to this night, and those that are live streaming, you as well. And so with that, I'll turn it over to our brother, Aaron Moser.
Thank you, Derek. Welcome to all here this evening.
Good evening.
Yeah, I really have to say that I appreciate those first two songs.
You're not on.
Gary even told me we should turn it on.
And don't mute it, and then I didn't turn it on. All right, so again, just have to say, you know, that I really appreciate those first two songs that we sang, because I think they go pretty well with what I'm about to talk about this evening. So you see the title of my sermon there is Making a Connection. And you can see here there's an electrical wire, right? And those wires aren't actually touching one another, but you can see that they are connected, right? There's this energy that is transferring between them. Like electricity does, it can jump gaps if there's enough amps or enough voltage and enough power there. It can jump across and it can arc. It can actually connect two things that are separated. You know, I remember years ago, my early working career, my first like real job that I got, I was working in the city of Phoenix. And I was working at the police department. And one of the things I would do is I'd work the front desk. And as I was working the front desk, the officers that were on sick or that were on light duty, you know, recovering from surgery or injury or something like that, they would come and they would work at the front desk. And so when you work at the front desk, you work there for like, you know, 8 to 10 hours. And yeah, not a whole lot going on in the station. And so I sit there and we talk to these officers. You know, I was an aspiring young officer. And I remember this one man, his name was Pat, and he was an officer. He had actually gotten cancer. And so he had gone through these cancer treatments. And so he was on light duty because, you know, these cancer treatments that they were giving him were, you know, they're pretty rough on. He had a surgery to remove some of that cancer. And so he was recovering from that. And I remember, you know, Pat and I would sit and we'd talk for quite a few hours. And, you know, I don't really remember all the conversations that we had or in great detail, but I remember, you know, feeling a kindred spirit. You know, I felt a connection to him, you know, from spending time with Pat. And so, you know, all throughout our lives and different experiences that we have, we make connections with people. You know, I'm connected with my wife through marriage. We made a covenant and we wrote that down and made a promise to one another, and we have this connection. It's a deeper connection than what I have with anyone else. And, you know, these connections that we make, they give us memories and they give us, you know, experiences and they give us things to think about. And, you know, we love and appreciate one another through what we've done together and through this promise that we made to each other. You know, it's a connection that we have, even though we're not physically connected. You know, we have this something between us that connects us both. You know, husbands or fathers and mothers, you know, they have connections with their children from raising them. You know, and we go and we learn from our parents, learn how to walk. In this case, his father is showing his son how to ride a bike. I remember teaching my boys how to drive. You know, we, through experiences, you know, we make connections. You know, going places, taking family vacations, you know, you make connections. You laugh together, you cry together, you know, you experience things. You are connected, you know, in all that we do. And we share these connections. You know, even when our loved ones pass away, we still, maybe it's not a connection anymore, but we feel that lack of connection, something it's missing now. You know, I remember when I was growing up and I was looking at my grandfather, and, you know, I always looked up to him. He was the pilot, he was a general in the Air Force, you know, and I remember him talking about stories and that he would tell. And, you know, as a kid growing up, and I was connected and I looked at him, and he was a man of honor and a man of courage. And I feel, you know, this connection. And then he passed away, you know, that I still feel this connection to him. You know, all these things that we do, we connect to people. And that's really what it's all about, is to connect with people. You know, and you know, people come and people go, but no matter how long they're in our lives, you know, we need to make connection with people. And so there's various ways in which we make connection and how we connect with other people. How do we do it? Well, one of the ways is we talk to each other. You know, this is something that's been going on for a very, very long time. You know, people then speak to one another. You know, it's the easiest way, you know, because everything we have is in our mind and it's just right there, ready to access. I have a picture up here. It's a picture of depicting some Native Americans. There's a man in the middle there. He's speaking. And you can see these kids on either side, and they're listening to him, you know. And all ancient cultures had an oral tradition. They would sit down and they would tell stories. And they would tell things that were important to them, you know. And it works. You know, it does work. You know, you're passing that on from generation to generation. The same stories are told over and over again. And the Bible, you know, in the beginning, they didn't really have much of a written record. It was passed down, you know, by word of mouth. And it works. And it worked for you know, these Native American cultures that were here. It worked up until, you know, they made contact with Europeans and then new diseases came in. And those old people that had the knowledge, you know, as they died off, that knowledge base began to become less and less and less. And so they truly suffered, and that because their culture was built on it. They didn't write anything down, really. So they etched things in stone, but in some cases. But, you know, they had this oral tradition, this strong oral tradition. That's how they remembered their forefathers, remembered their laws, and remembered the things that they would do. And when it was taken away from them, you know, they really kind of devolved, and they lost what they had because there was that weakness there, you know. Well, it's very powerful. It does work. It does have some of its limitations. Another way, we write things down. And we connect through the written word. Now, again, we've been doing this for a very, very long time. This is the picture up here, is this clay tablet writing. It's the earliest example of writing that they have. I don't know if that was the earliest, but because it was inscribed on clay tablets, you know, they still have these clay tablets. And they pick them up, and over in the Middle East there in Samaria, Fertile Crescent, you know, or Baghdad, Iran, the Middle East, Saudi Arabia, Israel, all those countries. This is where they find these writings like this. And we still have it because somebody took the time to write things down. You know, that does take a little bit of education, you know, but like I said, we still have these documents, not so much documents, these clay tablets that are still around. And, you know, that's how we know what we know about these cultures, you know, because somebody took the time to write these things down. And they wrote down, you know, ledgers and keeping track of storehouses and decrees from the kings. It was kind of like based on, you know, just those very few that could write, but they began to write. And just like our scriptures, you know, people began to write these things down because they wanted to make a connection with someone. They wanted people to remember, you know, these things that were important. And because someone took the time to write down letters that Paul had, write down what Jesus said, to write down, you know, when Moses sat down and wrote these books, you know, when Nephi brought the plates over, and someone took, it wasn't easy. You know, they took the time. These things were made in heavy, bulky materials. You know, they didn't really have a lot of paper. But someone took the time to write these things. And now we can reap the benefits, and we can hear those voices from the past, that wisdom that God gave, is written down. I mean, we can see throughout the history and how everything points to Christ. And then Christ came, and we have his record. Not only that, but we have multiple records testifying of him because someone wanted to make a connection to someone they didn't know, someone they didn't see, you and I. And we reap the benefits today because someone wanted to write this down. And so it's a way to connect, and we tell people about it. We talk to one another. We write things down, and we're connected. You know, there's things that we do. Things we do for one another. You know, when we do things, people talk about it. When we do things, people write it down. We remember all sorts of historical stories all throughout history. You know, why do we have these things? Because, you know, they speak to us. They talk to us. You know, this picture I have up here is a picture of pottery, and it was from one of the first invasions of, it's depicting one of the first invasions of Greece from Persia. And there's this lone Greek soldier in the middle, and he's fighting these three, you know, Persians. And, you know, there's this great battle. And later on, I'm not sure if this is depicting it, but there was a great battle that many of you know about at Thermopylae, where these Spartans made this last stand. You know, they sacrificed themselves, knowing that they were going to die, so that everyone else could get ready. And people remembered that. And they wrote about it. And they talked about it. This great sacrifice that they made. And we still talk about it today. Because of what these men did. And so we remember that. We make the connection. We can see in the human condition, you know, we can relate to other people through the things that they've done. And because other people took the time to write it down. Other people took the time to speak about it. You know, and now we can feel, we can see it. Depending on how well the writer is, but we can, you know, put ourselves in their shoes. And we connect with the past. People who have been dead long, long ago. We can still get that little bit of connection from someone from so long ago. And we are called to do this. It's something that God wants us to do. This gospel was made for connection. We go into Messiah in the 9th chapter and the 39th verse. And now as ye are desirous to come into the fold of God and to be called his people and are willing to bear one another's burdens, that they may be light. Yea, and are willing to mourn with those that mourn. Yea, and comfort those that stand in need of comfort. And to stand as witnesses of God at all times and in all things and in all places that ye may be in, even unto death, that ye may be redeemed of God and be numbered up with those of the first resurrection, that ye may have eternal life. Now, this is something we want. We want eternal life. And what leads to eternal life? Well, we have to connect through people, through other people, through our brothers and sisters. And we bear their burdens. What does that mean? We help them when they need help. When they're facing a task they can't do by themselves, we step in and lighten that load. When they're sad or depressed, we come in, we step in, we give a kind word, we give a hug. We mourn with them, we feel, take some of that pain if we can. Comfort those that need comfort. Again, it's about connecting with people. We're called to connect. We're called to lift each other up, to help one another. We're called to witness to God at all times, all places, all things. Meaning we need to be prepared to speak, prepared to write, and prepared to do. That's what we need to do. We are called to connect. We're called because God sent his Son to connect with us. And we all here, sitting in these walls, feel that connection in some way. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. And what does Christ ask us to do? He asks us to go out, to share that connection, to speak to those that are lost. You know, we're called to connect. So what do? Well, we talk to people. John chapter 4, the 6th verse. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the 6th hour. This particular verse, they were traveling, and they traveled into Samaria. And heard the story of the Good Samaritan. You know, Samaria were and the Israelites, they were people that didn't mix. They were people that did not like each other. They despised one another. The Samaritans were actually the ones that were, they were originally of the house of Israel, but they were left there in the Israelites' land. When the house of Israel was taken to Babylon, they were the ones that were left over. And because they were left over, they began to intermingle with other people in the area. And so when Israelites got back, they viewed them as like this impure, unclean thing. Now, they still believed in the law of Moses, but nope, you are no longer part of us. And so there was this friction there. They weren't allowed to worship in the temple and caused a lot of problems. And so they're traveling into Samaria, this place where his disciples probably knew this. And, these are people we don't talk to, we don't look at, we don't speak to them, we don't deal with them, we don't trade. They stay over there, we stay over here. So Jesus comes in this well. It's in Samaria. Verse 7. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. And so here comes this woman who is not supposed to have any dealings with. And he talks to her. He asks her a simple thing. Hey, can I have a drink of water? I'm thirsty. And so it begins this conversation. He begins to speak to her. And he talks to her. And as this conversation goes on, he's like, I've got this living water. If you drink of me, you'll never thirst again. I've got this truth. And he's wanting to speak to her and share with her this gospel and share with her what she can do. And doing something as just simple as starting off the conversation, hey, can I get a drink of water? And he spoke to her. And he tells her about her life, and he knows things that she's done and where she's been. And he tells her, yeah, you've had 5 different husbands, and you're with someone now who's no longer your husband. And she's astonished, and she's amazed. And he continues to speak to her, and he gives her hope. And she's amazed. We skip down into verse 25. The woman saith unto him, I know what Messiah is cometh, which is called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus reveals himself. Jesus say unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. He tells her, I am the Christ. I am the one that you're waiting for. And she believes him. You know what she does? She goes back to her village and she speaks. And she tells the people, Christ is here. He told me all these things about myself. You need to come and listen to him. You need to go hear him. And they come because they believed in the Messiah that was coming. And they came and they saw. And you know what Christ did? He sent his disciples along the way. And he spent 2 days with those people. Preaching them, teaching them, speaking to them. Because he wanted them to know. He didn't want them to be lost. That started off in this small conversation. Can I have a drink of water? And he was wanting and willing to speak. She was willing to speak back and then go and speak to her people in her village. And because of that, souls were brought to know Christ through simple conversation. Now, speaking is something that is so, can be so very powerful. We should all hone that ability. We should all be able to articulate. We should all be able to speak because we can change hearts. We can change minds through our words, through our actions. Likewise, we can hurt people through our words. So we have to choose our words carefully. Speak in accordance with what God asks us to speak. But just simple conversation. We can talk. I can share hope. I can share that light that's within me just by talking to people. We can write to people. In 3 Nephi, in the 13th chapter, first verse, this is when Christ has come back to this land. He's done some miracles. He's taught them. And this is what he says in the 13th chapter. Write the things which ye have seen and heard, save it be those which are forbidden. Write the works of this people, which shall be even as hath been written of that which hath been. For behold, out of the books which have been written, and which shall be written, shall this people be judged. For by them shall their works be known unto men. And behold, all things are written by the Father. Therefore, out of the books which shall be written, shall the world be judged. And so Christ gives them this commandment. You need to write this down. Take note. Write it down. Because this is going to be the standard. People are going to look at these and refer back to them. And they're going to be judged based on what is written here. You know, it's written because it becomes under the influence of the Father. He has given it to you. And it's good. Write it down. You know, we can write today. We don't write as much as more as we used to, like pen and paper. We still have, you know, digital media that we can write in. We can write encouraging things. We can send text messages and emails. We can write and communicate. And people can look back and remember the things that we've said. So we should. We should write. We should connect through the written word. Because it lasts. So many, all throughout history, you know, all these some of the best historical documents we have, you know, are these letters that people wrote. You know, husbands to wives, you know, soldiers away at war, letters that they wrote and documentations in it. It gives us this, you can see it in your mind, kind of get a capture some of that feeling that's there. You connect. Just like our scriptures, you know, we can connect with Christ and connect with other Christians whom we've never met, have not existed in the same time period. We could have this connection. It's through the written word. And so we should write, be articulate, be able to send an encouraging letter, an encouraging word to someone who needs it. Write and connect. And we need to serve. John 13, 14th verse. Christ again. This is the Last Supper. They've gone in, he's gone in, and he's washed all the disciples' feet. And Jesus says, "If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them." You know, he promises. There's this promise here. It sounds, you know, being a servant can have kind of like a negative sort of connotation to it. It's someone who is subservient, someone who is at the beck and call of somebody else. But Christ calls us. You need to serve. And if you're serving as he did, taking care of the needs that other people have, you're going to find happiness. And it's true. You know, the other day I went to a store, and my wife sent me there to go buy some things, and there was just a couple things. So I went up to the, was walking into the store, and they have those, you know, plastic baskets that you can carry with you. I was just gonna buy a couple things. So I walked up, and their baskets were low on the floor. So I picked up one of those plastic baskets. I turned around, and I saw this woman behind me, and I saw her staring at the last basket that was on the floor, and she looked like she couldn't really bend over that well. So I just said, "Well, here you go." I gave her the basket. And you thought I'd given her $100. Her face lit up, and she was so patient. So much, you know? And off she went. Now, it's just simple. It made me feel good. It made me feel happy. You know, these simple little things, service to others. You know, finding a need and filling it. And it brings happiness. It brings joy, not only to you, but to somebody else who's in need. And we're doing it, and we become Christ-like in simple service. Washing feet. Handing a basket. Simple service. Things we can do that are so easy. Thing is, we have to look for the opportunities. I got a picture up there. It's a dog, and he has nabbed a piece of pizza. He found opportunity to snag that because somebody wasn't looking. So he jumped up on a table, and he took that piece of pizza. You know, I find that's true of dogs. You know, dogs will take the opportunity if it's presented to them. If there's food, they're going to grab it. I was serving a search warrant once with my team. And we had a robot, and the robot went down, so the canine officer was there, and he said, "Hey, I can run my canine through the house." I'm like, "All right, let's do it." So we're sitting in the hallway, we're all dressed up in our mean green uniforms, and he lets the dog go down the hallway, and enters one room, comes out, enters another room, comes out, goes in one room, comes out, real quick. And he goes in this last room. We're waiting. We're waiting. And we're waiting. I look down at the handler, and he's got the line. He looks up at me and goes, "Well, he either found someone or he found something." So he starts calling and pulling on the leash. Dog comes out of the hallway, has a giant sandwich in his mouth. He's harfing off. Opportunity. Hey, I'm done with my job. There's a sandwich somebody left behind. You know, dogs are always on the hunt. They're always looking for the opportunity. And they'll take it, small ones, little ones. You know, if it had been a French fry on the floor, he'd have snagged it. Didn't matter how big it was. Didn't matter if it was a full feast. Always looking for opportunity. You know, are we looking for the opportunity? We got to take those little opportunities. You know, going back to the story that I started with. You know, Pat, he was able to kind of recover a little bit. He went back out on the road, and then he ended up contracting more cancer. They found it, and ultimately ended up taking his life, and it was really sad. You know, and it was about that time I'd gotten a performance review from my supervisor, and it was like one of the first ones I've ever gotten. And so I took this performance review, and of course, in this performance review, there's always this little section that says, you know, employee comments, and you can speak if you'd like to, and you can say something. So I looked at that, and I was standing next to a couple of different guys, and one of the guys is like, "Oh, I'll just put no comment. Don't worry about it." And the other guy is a little older, and he says, "You know, if you have the opportunity to speak for yourself, you probably should take it." Yeah, I think I took the first guy's advice, and I put, you know, no comment, turned it back in. Well, went to Pat's funeral, and his sergeant got up, and he took these performance reviews, and he began to read the comments that Pat had left. Told how grateful he was for the opportunities he had. How grateful he was to be able to serve. How he appreciated those that he worked with. He took an opportunity to speak. Now, something that, how many performance evaluations are filed away and never seen again? But he took that opportunity to show gratefulness. And there, I got to be connected to Pat one more time. Now when I get my performance reviews, I write something in there. Take the small opportunities. And you know, we don't know what it may lead to. You never know where it's going to go. If we look in Alma, 12th chapter, and you look at this story, and it's King Lamoni, and he's heard the gospel, and it has overtaken him and his wife, and they've heard it, and they've accepted Jesus Christ. They believed the words that they were saying. They were so consumed, they passed out, and their servants that are around them passed out, and everyone in the room passes out. Pick it up in verse 150 in Alma chapter 12. "It came to pass that they called on the name of the Lord in their might, even till they had all fallen to the earth, save it were one of the Lamanitish women whose name was Abish. She having been converted unto the Lord for many years on account of a remarkable vision of her father, thus having been converted to the Lord, never had made it known." So here's this woman. She's converted to the Lord for years, and she can't really speak because in this culture, you know, they were killing those Nephites that believed. You know, they sons of Mosiah all went. They suffered greatly at the hands of these people because of who they were and what they were trying to do. So she couldn't really let it be made known. So here she is. She sees this event take place. All these people fall down in front of her, you know, consumed in the spirit of the Lord. "Therefore, when she saw that all the servants of Lamoni had fallen to the earth, and also her mistress, the queen and the king, and Ammon lay prostrate upon the earth, she knew that it was the power of God." So she witnesses it, she sees it. So what does she do? "And supposing that this opportunity, by making known to the people what had happened among them, and by beholding this scene, it would cause them to believe in the power of God." She had this opportunity. She could have just run away, but she didn't. She left. She began telling people, "Something's happened. Go see. You've got to go see this. Look." And this crowd of people all gathers around, and they see their king, and they see the queen, and the servants, and Ammon. They're all passed out, and they begin to have discussions as to what's going on. Some people are blaming Ammon, saying he was a monster, and he was sent to terrorize them. Some people are blaming the king, saying he brought this on him for bringing Ammon in. Some people are blaming that, you know, they're saying Ammon is a great spirit, and he's a prophet. There's this commotion going forth. And one of these men who's angry at Ammon for doing what he's done goes to try and kill him, and he falls down dead. And then that causes a ruckus. And all these people are starting to fight. What does this woman do? You know, she can't dissuade everyone. She can't convince them otherwise, so she reaches over and she takes the hand of her queen. And the queen wakes up and praises Jesus. And the queen takes the king's hand, and he wakes up and he sees all these people arguing, and he rebukes them. And they're converted. All because she took the opportunity to bring them together. She saw the opportunity and brought them in. You know, she was a no one. It's the only time we hear about her. Never hear about her again. But she saw the opportunity. And she did what she could. It wasn't even great or grand. Telling people, hey, look. She took the time to speak. And then reach out and grab a hand. It's simple. And people were converted. Because she'd made time. Took advantage of the opportunity. Was on the hunt. She couldn't do it until then. This is my chance. Let God's power be shown. So you've got to tell your stories. You have this light of Christ that's within you. You've got to let it out. You've got to tell people why there's a hope within you. You've got to make a connection. And we don't do that according to Scripture. Should we read our scriptures? Absolutely. Should we read these stories? We should. We should know them, but we connect by telling people. We connect by writing to people. We connect by doing for people. That is how souls and minds are one. It's through this connection. And when Christ came and he spoke in parables. Why? Because they could understand and connect with people. The simple people. He told them these stories. They're simple stories. Not even true, just parables. People could see it. They could put themselves in those shoes. He came and he was kind. He took the time to speak to ones that no one would speak to. The lepers and the blind, the handicapped. He took the time to heal them, to make them right, through simple means, by telling them what was good, telling them what's right. Colossians in the 4th chapter, 3rd verse, with all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance. To speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Now, this is Paul's prayer. He's telling his people, you've got to pray for these opportunities. Pray that God gives you the words. Pray that these come before you, that you know what to do, you know what to say. You know, humble yourself so that God works in you. And when the time comes, you don't have to have great oratory skills, great cunning, great wit. Through his simple grace and his simple mercy and simple acts of kindness, you'll know what to do when the time comes. But you got to be on the hunt. You got to be looking. Where? Who can I speak to? Who can I write to? Who can I serve? It doesn't have to be grand and glorious. So simple little comments, simple little deeds. That is how the light is shown through us. So I pray that you look for opportunity. Pray that you're able to speak the truth. That you're able to make known the light of Christ in this world. Thank you for your time.